Welcome to worship. I'm Reverend Molly Vetter, pastor at Westwood Church here in Los Angeles, and it's my joy to welcome you into our worship for Pentecost Sunday. This morning's worship is extraordinary. We're including the ritual of confirmation, and parts of this service were recorded last Sunday afternoon when our confirmands, their families, and mentors gathered in this space to share in that ritual. We have incredible music this morning, including a string quartet, marimba, and vibraphone, including our own chancel choir singing from their cars, and welcoming back some beloved section leader soloists from the past. I hope that you will feel the presence and movement of the Holy Spirit as we share together in worship on this day, the day we celebrate the birth of our church. We have a worship guide that we've prepared. I hope you'll download it so that you can sing and pray with us as we go. Your participation makes a difference, and our worship is richer because you are a part of what we're doing now. So welcome. Our congregation welcomes and celebrates people of all ages, races, gender identities, and sexual orientations. We come together, trusting that God speaks to us and through us for the sake of the world. As we worship this morning, may the peace of Christ be with you.
People of the East, people of the West, praise God in the rising of the sun. People of the North, people of the South, under God's moon we are one. People of the East, people of the West, come dance in the rising of the sun. People of the North, people of the South, in the rising of the sun. People of the North, people of the South, moving mysteries we are one. People of the East, people of the West, praise God in the rising of the sun.
Holy Spirit, divine breath, wild winds of change. She comes to rattle all that cages, to provoke with prophecies, to disturb the quiet of evil's routines. In her presence, all the earth trembles with anticipation of freedom. A weary world is roused with hope. She awakens the senses to the nearness of salvation. She is the power of God poured out among us. Come, Spirit, come. Let us pray. Divine Disruptor, in the heart of the ordinary, you stir and surprise. We welcome your chaos as we release instincts to control. Though evil makes rigid, oppresses with order, exploits through unjust rules and regulations, your love is a force of agitation, drawing the faithful together, rowdy with hope. May it be so among us. Amen.
Spirit, come again. As long as you inspired, astonished, and confused the people, come to us now to fill our ears with the sound of your breath, fill our eyes with the brilliance of your presence in each other, fill our hearts with your good word. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hast thou not bid me love thee, God and King, all thine own soul, heart, and strength, and mind? I see thy cross there, teach my heart to cling. Oh, let me seek thee, and oh, let me find.
Our second scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. I invite you to listen for the word of God. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame, the kindling of the heaven-descended dove. My heart an altar and thy love the flame.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. It's Pentecost Sunday, celebrated as the birthday of the church. It reminds us that our existence as the church comes as gift of God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit from its beginning has been working in and through the rich diversity of this world. The story of Pentecost in the book of Acts, which Kenny read for us so beautifully this morning, includes in it names and descriptions of some of the diversities of people who were gathered in Jerusalem that day, who not only received the Spirit, but heard it, each of them in their own languages. The community didn't know what to do with this wondrous, mystical, uniting experience that was somehow bringing people together and filling them with the power, but not ironing out the wrinkles of their differences, not watering down or diminishing the particularity of the voices that each of them inhabit. Instead, somehow the Holy Spirit birthed the church as a united body, sharing in a unity that belongs in God, but that's expressed in rich diversity. In traveling around the world, in being in communities where the English I grew up speaking isn't the dominant language, I've had the disorienting experience of not understanding most of what's being said around me. And I've felt the gracious blessing of hearing my own home language, heart language, through that noise. And I know what it feels like to feel like you can hear and participate and understand. And I treasure that our Pentecost story, that birthday of the church, happened as all the rich diversity of people gathered received that same gift of hearing the good news, each in their own language. On this Pentecost, as we think about what we're called to be, what we're gifted with as the church in this moment, I treasure that from the beginning, we have understood something about how God works in this complicated, complex, diverse world. God speaks into it and through it and allows each of us to hear and understand as we are and where we are. But the Spirit's also doing something that stirs up transformation. And I treasure how Paul's words in the letter to the Romans help us understand that there's a now and not yet of this moment in our world, of this space we inhabit between Christ's resurrection and the birth of the church and the fulfillment of the promises of God, the fulfillment of the kingdom of God, our beloved community. We live in this meantime space as we try to navigate what is already true and yet not fulfilled. We claim with confidence our trust in the blessed assurance of Christ's grace, and we know also that there is more to come. Paul describes it as birthing. We understand these birth pangs and this transformation that's coming in this moment of continual transition as we prepare for what God is doing, as we trust in it, as already having been accomplished, and yet knowing that there's still so far to go. This unique and in-between phase is always been a part of the quality of the life of the church, but seems especially so in moments like this one, in moments of the world when so much is changing continually. When we're having to reinvent and recalibrate how it is that we participate in our communities of faith and in the communities where we live, as we begin to shift from the dramatic isolation of this pandemic toward what will be next, as we reimagine again and again how to gather together with others, how to share in the life of the church. I share with so many of you a desire that we won't just go back to normal, as if there were a standard and acceptable way that we were living that we just have to return to. Instead, in this moment, I feel called to move forward to what will be, trusting that we've learned something from this moment of loss and hardship and struggle, that we've learned a little bit about what we truly value and what we're called to give our time and attention to, that we've understood, because we haven't been able to gather, something of the value of real community, community that spans across diversities, not the friendships that we've maintained with our closest friends through pandemic, but relationships with people that we sometimes struggle to communicate with, or that we don't quite understand, or that challenge us or make us uncomfortable. It's this kind of rich community, the community that's always been a part of the life of the church, that draws us forward to what we can be in Christ. And we practice living into that rich community by sharing in life together. This morning, as a part of our worship, we're sharing in the ritual of confirmation. And since the fall of 2019, I and Reverend Kathy Cannon and Ryan Dobson have worked with these young people, have invited them into relationship with mentors from our congregation, and today rejoice to welcome 9 of them into membership in our church as they confirm their faith. I think it's one of the greatest treasures of the church that we are a community where young people and adults not a part of their immediate families can form relationships that are meaningful, where they seek one another's well-being and grow together in faith. I think one of the great gifts of our church community are intergenerational friendships, of being hope for one another as we get to share in reciprocal and mutual relationships that help us grow to be the kind of people that God calls us to be. We have in our community wisdom of people with longer life experience and people with the fresh experience of their youth, who together somehow become richer, more alive, closer to God as we share together in life. So it was a particular joy to share in confirmation last Sunday as we gathered in this room to record and experience the confirmation ritual, it felt so good to see those relationships and know that they're but a few examples of the kind of relationship that our church community has the power to build. Those kinds of relationships, as well as the other gifts that we offer in our worship and in our study, in our sharing together of work for transformation of the world, in advocacy for justice, in compassionately tending the needs of the world, all of these practices form us as a community that is alive by power of the Holy Spirit. And I give thanks that we have the privilege of sharing in this work together. At the beginning and through it all, it comes by animating gift of the Holy Spirit, but it invites our participation in continuing, in deepening, in making real and putting flesh on the bones of our lived faith as we give our lives in participation with what God is doing. I've been reading my colleague Tyler Sitt's new book, Staying Awake, The Gospel for Changemakers. Tyler, a second-generation Chinese-American, a young leader in our community, is pastor of the New City Church in Minneapolis. And his book reminds us of the value of what we do. He describes some of the practices of the church, including among them worship. He says this: Jesus was so passionate about his cause that he demanded that people not only show up, but also change their hearts, and not only welcome the marginalized people, but also repent for participating in the society that did the marginalizing. That's why the book you're holding started with a chapter about worship. For worship is where we train our heart to love God. And that results in a sea change in whom we ultimately trust, not the empire, but God, whom we ultimately love, not the empire, but God, and for whom we will go to bat, not the empire, but God. Worship is not everything, but it's something that's powerful. It's a reason we gather together to reorient ourselves toward God, to remember who we are and how we belong together. And today, as our worship continues, as our musicians help us access the power of the Holy Spirit through Mozart's beautiful music, as we share in the ritual of baptism and confirmation, I pray that you would hear and know that we are this day given life by gift of God, through the power of God's Holy Spirit that comes into us and works through us, that is rooting for us and pulling us onward, but that Holy Spirit is an invitation to us for participation in how God shows up in this world, in and through each of us. I give thanks to be a part of a congregation that has been showing up and will continue to show up for God, for one another, for the sake of love and mercy and justice. May you hear an invitation and an occasion to remember your own belonging in the church, in the sacrament of baptism, in the sacred vows that we're called to fulfill as we seek to be about the work of the radical, world-changing, life-changing, heart-turning gospel. May it be so. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant that was declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
I present these people for confirmation: Amanda Rose Green, Laurel Inez Hines, Lauren Emily Pengle, Ossian Carl Peterson, Teo Alexander Probst, Lana Elaine Sun, William Maddox Shiflett, Caroline Chase Wellington, and Tyler Hutchinson Collin for baptism and confirmation.
I have questions for you all now. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will.
Many of you have committed to being mentors to this group. You have a part to play in this, so I ask the confirmation mentors, will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? If so, say, I will. And to you, the larger congregation, you also have a part to play in this. I ask the whole congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
I've asked Joe Schiff, as our lay leader and a mentor, to answer the next question on behalf of you all. Joe, will you come up to the lectern? It's a complicated answer.
Joe, I'll pose the question to you that you'll answer for the congregation. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
We will. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these people with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. So we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Amen. I invite you to kneel here and hold your hands up above the water. I'm going to do this properly here. It's our joy to baptize you today. And so, Tyler Hutchinson, actually, you don't have to hold your hands. I'm going to touch your head. Tyler Hutchinson, I baptize you in the name of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you all to hold your hands up and out as if to participate in this blessing. Tyler Hutchinson, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Amanda, since you've been baptized, I invite you to kneel here and hold your hands up above the bowl, and I'll pour water over your hands so you can, Amanda Rose, remember your baptism and be thankful. I invite you all to join me in holding hands up of blessing. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to kneel and hold your hands up. Laura Linez, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lauren Emily, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ocean Carl, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Kayo Alexander, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. William Maddock, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lana Elaine, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Caroline Chase, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have next questions for you all. Now that you've been confirmed, I ask you as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through this church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Will you faithfully participate in the ministries of this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Our confirmands are today wearing stoles that they decorated with symbols of God and of themselves. They wear them like a mantle around their necks. And confirmands, for you, they are a reminder that your faith is something that you wear on your body, that's lived in your life, that's a part of who you are. I hope you feel the blessing of God's presence with you in this moment and in this congregation today, and that that remains with you even far beyond this moment. We have another question for the congregation as you receive these people, and I invite Joe back up to the lectern to answer on your behalf, and I invite you to answer in your hearts with her. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons here, these beloved members of our congregation, into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in love.
I will. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. It's not yet advisable to sing and shout together, but there's nothing to stop us from clapping as an enthusiastic reception of these folks. So as you guys, would you come back to your spots in the middle of the chancel? And as they do that, would you all give them a warm Christian round of applause?
Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need, saying, "Hear us, O God, your mercy is great." In gratitude for all you have done for us, Holy God, we pray. For the people of God in every land, for those who continually teach the faith, for witnesses who by their example show your steadfast love, for all who are estranged from the church, and for the strength to walk in your ways and observe your command. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. For nations, communities, and families torn by violence, for leaders and protesters, for managers and visionaries, for dictators and peacemakers, for the allies of our nation and for our enemies, especially today for the people of Gaza. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. For all people who are victims of injustice, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, for those living on the streets of our cities, for people struggling with addiction, anger, fear, or illness, for all who have asked this congregation for prayer, for those we name now in our hearts, hear us, O God, your mercy is great. For this community of faith, for those who join us in worship every week and those who cannot, for the young and the old, for newcomers and long familiar faces, for the newly baptized in every land, for those who are seeking to know you, hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Into your promises, we entrust all those whose needs are known to us today, and those whose needs are known only to you. Grant peace to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. As Christ taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. I hope that you have felt the Holy Spirit with you where you are, connecting you to the rest of us and pushing us to be the church Christ calls us to be. There are ways for you to go deeper in your life of faith and your connection to God and community through this church. The easiest way to stay connected with what's going on is through our weekly e-news, which come out every Friday. You can join our list or share a prayer concern at westwoodumc.org/connect. We are working on opportunities to come back to campus in the month of June, celebration of graduates, and promotion to the next year for our young people. There is a lot coming. A new study will start in June on the book of Job, led by the Reverend Dr. John Holbert of our congregation. And there are other opportunities to engage. This morning at 11 a.m., in place of our usual follow-up, we're hosting a farewell celebration for Pastor Terrence Higgins, who's been with us for this past year as associate pastor and pastor of the Loft. We want to offer to him our blessings and prayers, our gratitude for his leadership with us. I encourage you to log on and to offer a word of gratitude or blessing to him. It's open to anyone, and the link is in your e-news. Thank you for being with us today. As this hour comes to a close, as we prepare to hear the postlude offered by our choir in their car choir, I pray that you would know the Holy Spirit's push as she leads us into lives that reflect the power, the beauty, the love, and the justice that God calls us to. Go be the church. Be in peace. Amen.
Oh, the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. The stone that the builders rejected, the stone that the builders rejected, the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world.
A grain of wheat may be knocked to the ground and suffer through the winter's cold, only to rise right up again and bear its seed a thousandfold.
Oh, the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of the whole new world. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. The stone that the builders rejected, the stone that the builders rejected, the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world.
Never can our journey fail. A little child
rejected.